Welcome to the Best of Drive with Joel and Fletch, and we got our week off to a flyer. Thanks to you, all the nominations for the Monday A-Grades of the Week. And don't forget to send them in next Monday as well. Drive with Joel and Fletch, of course, daily, 3 to 6pm, Monday to Friday. Check out the A-Grades.
The Monday A-Grades with Joel and Fletch.
I'll let you start, Fletch.
I'm going, my A-grade is Bryson DeChambeau after just being absolute A-grade in the British Open. He look, I understand golf is frustrating. We've got some audio. Listen to this.
Yesterday, if I can hit it down the middle of the fairway, that's great. But again, with the driver right now, the driver sucks. It's not a good face for me, and we're still trying to figure out how to make it good on the miss hits. And, you know, I'm living on the razor's edge like I've told people for a long time. And, you know, when I did get it outside of the fairway, like in the first cut and whatnot, I catch jumpers out of there and I couldn't control my wedges. So it's quite finicky for me because it's a golf course that's pretty short. And so when I hit driver up there and it doesn't necessarily go in the fairway, it's right in the first cut or whatever, or it's in the hay, it's tough for me to get it out onto the green and control that. What's in the middle of the fairway, like I had it on 18, I was able to hit a nice shot in there to 11 feet and almost made a birdie.
So it's enough of Bryson. Yeah, get him off, Gibbo. So his driver is specifically made for him.
Yeah.
Don't use your driver then.
That's it.
You A-grade.
What a flog.
Absolute flog. And stop eating raw meat.
Who's the blokey?
Brooks Koepka.
Brooks, did you hear what Brooks said?
Yeah, Brooks came out and said, I love my driver.
Yeah.
Yeah, Brooks is an A-grade too.
Yeah, he's an A-grade too.
So who his clubs now, the sponsor,
Cobra,
is going to lose so much from him saying he doesn't like his driver.
That's right. So that's why the guy came out and basically said, mate, we've got all these blokes doing all this work for you.
Yeah.
Doing all the testing. It's your club. You picked the wrong club.
Yeah.
He threw them all under the bus.
Yeah.
It was massive A-grade.
Solid as a lemonade sandwich and a poor tradesman blames his tools.
That's right. Exactly. We're going to take your calls in a moment as well. My A-grade is, well, this happened. There's a $3.10 pop. I'll set the scene and then we'll hear the end of this. An apprentice jockey, Mark Crehan, he is riding the leader. It's going to win. It's a $3.10 second favourite. Aryan Power is the horse. Let's have a listen to this.
Pirate King moving well still. Aryan Power upsize. Colony Queen is looking for a gap. Then comes Spanish Archer. Aryan Power, though, takes over now from Colony Queen in second place. They're being chased by Spanish Archer. Montath has found nothing. Then comes Pirate King, but finding plenty as Aryan Power driven by a length and a half to Colony Queen in second. Then Spanish Archer. Oh, what's going on here? Aryan Power's been eased off. Oh, goodness me. And Colony Queen has won it.
Did you see that?
No.
I'll show you the footage in the break. So Aryan Power has cruised. It's just going to win by a length or two, at least. And then it gets 100 metres out, and the bloke just thinks he's won.
He's got the post.
Pulls the horse up, and then just stands up in the irons, in the Jeremy's, and then two horses go straight past him on the finish line.
This sounds hot.
It sounds very smelly. He's my A-grade, poor Mark Crean. He's going to serve 28-week suspension. Brooksy.
Wow. Where was that? That was in
Doncaster, over there in England.
Yeah.
By the way, we beat Sparrow for the sixth week in a row.
Did we? So he's got to kick in.
Yes.
Sorry, Brooksy.
No, it's all good. I had a couple from the weekend just from being out and about doing my exercise because of the, you know.
Yeah, don't talk about it.
Yeah. Mm. Dog walkers that have two dogs on long leashes like they're jet skiing, like causing absolute havoc on footpaths, walk paths, parks. Like there's got to be a limit to your leash, right?
Yeah.
Do they have that retractable one?
No, I don't think this was retractable, but there's got to be a limit, right? Well,
give me an idea of how long this leash was.
I reckon they're going, like the Mark Leishman was about three and a half metres.
Oh, that's taking the P-O-double-5.
It was like jet ski. It was like these two ropes behind the boat.
Did you elbow them in the face?
No, I just slightly moved over to the left because they're cute dogs.
Can I ask, right? and I'm back into my running now and it's not easy. Yeah. Should the walkers give way to the runners? So if you're on a path and it's quite densely populated, if a runner's coming through, it's on the walker, isn't it?
You're saying on a one-way sort of path?
Well, like it's a skinny path two-way.
Skinny path, yeah.
Yeah, so it's like it's hard to run, right, and to get your momentum back. Isn't it on the walker just to shift over and let them go? Have you got a rule there, Fletch?
No. The Johnny's got to move slightly to the side.
Have you seen all those A-grades in Bondi doing that stupid Bonner to Bronny walk?
Yeah.
They're not even from the East. Piss off.
But you know what else is a bit of an A-grade? Saw Georgia Love, you know, everyone's favourite reality TV star turned newsreader.
Don't know Georgia. What's...
She was the Bachelorette.
Yeah.
I don't know. It, you know, she had a moment. But she's posting this shit on social media about people in a different state to her, like going, oh, look at the carnage of Bondi.
Oh, Gary, give up.
And I'm like...
Georgia, give up.
You're not even here. You, great that you got likes, retweets, whatever you got.
That's right. Piss
but that's off. All. That's the only thing you're doing it for. You're not doing it for alerting your local people to go calm down. You're doing it for social reaction.
There are some A-grades down the beach at the moment.
Mm.
God, they're wankers.
Gibbo, yeah. Any A-grades for you?
Latte. Well, I was going to have one, but a little text message caught my eye. Oh. JR from Cooler.
Yes.
Oh, here we go.
I think it's going to be a turf war here, JR.
Yeah, what's he come up with? Oh, he's your A-grader.
No. Gibbo A-grade for whinging about being a third wheel. You could end up beat man if you play cards right, brother. Lol.
Oh.
Is it best man?
JR. Or
beat man? Oh, best man or beat man?
Yeah, best man, yeah. I reckon.
Okay, well JR's not mine.
No, hang on. I think it is beat man. I know what goes on over your way, Gibbo.
Yes.
Yeah, well, Eagle Rock comes on. You know what to do.
Oh, yeah. We but, drop them.
Anyway, I want to go serious. Katie Hopkins, we got a text about her. She's this, like, British person, came over here to do Big Brother.
Mm.
And so she was in hotel quarantine, and then she gets on Instagram Live, basically trying to troll and just being a bit of a bitch, really. Mm. And so she's trying to flout the rules. There was a story where the hotel workers come and bring her food. She pops up Starkers, just trying to play pranks on him. I guess it's kind of funny, but... And she was saying how she got around the rules because she's a celebrity. Basically, what she's done then has brought attention onto herself. Australian visa guys have looked into her. And sent her packing.
Bad luck.
So, and just at this time as well, like people down in Victoria, they've been going through another lockdown. People in New South Wales are not working. Like, you got to read the room sometimes.
Read the room.
So, sorry, can I ask Big Brother?
VIP. So it's...
What is VIP?
I think, I'm not too sure.
Celebrity?
I think it's just going to be celebrities. Ooh. Like, because Caitlyn Jenner is coming. But so this Katie Hopkins, she's not got the best rap over in the UK. So,
sorry, did you say rap? Because I was just thinking of those hotels.
I know what you're thinking of.
I was thinking of the hotel staff coming in, and she's Starkers.
Yeah, so she hasn't got the best reputation over in England. So I think she was going to come out and go toe to toe with Caitlyn Jenner on the show.
Yeah.
Oh. But anyway,
there's Katie Hopkins. There you go. 1300 01 1170. To the open line we go. Liam from Brisbane's there. G'day, Liam.
Hey boys, how are you?
Yeah, we're going all right, Liam. What do you know, mate?
Mate, I'll tell you an A grader first. My 11-year-old daughter.
Oh, no.
Family A-grades.
Oh, it's so good.
She's got a birthday next weekend, and so does her cousin's 21st, and she's like, there is no way I'm going to spend my birthday with them. So we all missed out on the good old 21st pisser.
Oh. Oh, yeah, of course. You're in
because
Brisbane.
Because she's refusing to go.
Can you bring it forward?
Yeah, we're allowed to do whatever we want.
Yeah, I know.
Boys, why I'm ringing you? I'm a Titans fan. Did you hear on Friday night, Vossy ramp it up?
I did, but I also heard Warren Smith say something else, which was untoward. Can I ask you this? So, Liam, is there tension between the cousins, or she just wants the spotlight on her?
Mate, it's all about her. Yeah. Like, there's no ifs or buts. In May, we've been counting down since May, and I'm like, you're 11, kid. He's 21.
Yeah.
And she's refusing to go, and then Mum's taking her side. So I can't win.
No, well, what you've done here today, Liam, you have become the first person in Drive history, maybe on any channel, to make their own daughter an A-grade. So, well done, Liam.
No worries, boys.
He's proud as fudge,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, he is, too. Welcome back to the Best of Drive with Joel and Fletch, and there was drama. Drama, drama, drama in Queensland, so we had to cut to the chase. We crossed into enemy lines to speak to Sats and Badge. John Bernard, he's been the man who's stirring the world with all his prediction when it comes to COVID. We got him and the general, the doyen of decisions. We had to run a few past the great man, the general. Have a listen. Let's cross out to our great partners up there in Queensland, Sats and Badge. G'day, boys.
Hi, guys. How are you?
Going good, guys. You out of breath, boys. We just run up the stairs.
Boys, you've been busy.
Hey, Sat.
Yeah.
I'm just wondering, are you wearing that low-cut shirt, the V-neck that I noticed
What about that?
On social media that I... What was that all about?
Oh, I don't know. I was about to call the game on Friday night, and I had a jumper on. I said, I'll take it off. It's a little bit hot. And then I looked at the shirt that I had on, and Badge, you mightn't have seen it, because Badge isn't on social media, but It went up on the SEN, NRL Nation, and it's this really low V-neck.
Jeff Heller hair hanging out of
V-neck
it.
V-neck T-shirt. And as soon as it went up, I went, oh, no. And then Brooksy, he just hammered me on social media. And then I saw Fletch pop up at one stage. So, if I had my time over again, Brian, I wouldn't have done it.
Boys, I'd like to interrupt you here because we have a segment and it's called this. Okay. Where else but Queensland? So this is how this is God's honest truth. This is out of the paper. Electrician who cut off man's testicles in backyard surgery walks free. A man who cut the testicles off two men in a backyard surgery designed to make them eunuchs has been released from custody. Ryan Andrew King, 28, cut off the orchestras of two men, one in Logan Home in September 2009, the other in July, after they had answered him via a website designed for chopping off your Bruce Gulls. Yeah, it's heavy.
Yep.
What was his name?
His name was Ryan Andrew King, 28.
Ryan King. Wayne's brother.
Yeah. Prosecutor Edward Coker said King, who was charged with grievous bodily harm, was contacted first by a 65-year-old Victorian man on the website. What sort of website is this? After they arranged to remove one of his testicles. Oh, and he's Morton.
Oh, no.
He wants the Franks and the beans, which was done in Victoria. Again, boys, this is what I'd like to know here. What were you, because I've got the price here. What are you paying, right?
Yep.
What are you paying a Sparky to cut off your manhood in the backyard?
Oh, no.
So
is this a higher or lower?
I'm going to give you, it's in between.
Okay.
And a between. No, actually, just go. Give me
Before you go there, boys, I can see people at driving, just squirming probably as we are right now.
Just adjusting right now.
Yeah. What's your guess?
Now, are we saying the whole package, the Franks and the beans? Yeah. I'm going to say $2,500.
I reckon it's a five-figure.
Five-figure. What say you, Badge? Don't forget he's a Sparky and he'd be working on a Saturday, so that's time and a half.
Yeah.
Well, I was going to go 10, so I'm able to go 15,000.
Nah. All, everything, done, gone, sold. Make no mistake. $1,000.
Oh, no wonder they're lining up for it in Queensland.
$1,000, but this is it. It doesn't sound very good. Listen to the sales. The surgeries were agreed to be performed to beyond the point of being repaired, and the victims would later go to hospital after continually bleeding. Any type of backyard surgery that's going to be invasive, resulting in removal of a body part, carries with it such an obvious and significant risk of complications and indeed death that this conduct needs to be deterred. What is that all about? Where's Logan Home?
Logan Home's in between Gold Coast and Brisbane.
Yeah, knew it.
Yeah, it's not far if you're in the hub. Mm. Any of the players listening?
What is going on up there? That wouldn't happen down here.
So that was that's what we call Fletch.
Hey, can I throw my A grade up?
Yeah.
Mine's the Olympic officials because they've made these new cardboard beds which are designed to collapse under the weight of fornicators to discourage sex amid COVID-19.
Beds.
Okay, so this is I was speaking about this earlier. Righto, the weightlifters, they're gone. You got to be solo. But what about the little ones, like the
little marathon runners or little gymnasts?
Yeah, little gymnast or
play on.
There could be threesomes going on because they still won't.
Oh, come on, mate! This is a family show. That's disgusting.
Wow. Well, the weight still won't make the bed collapse. Scott.
Imagine the jockeys there. It'll be a Roman orgy.
What?
Oh yes.
What about this, boys? This is no tongue, Gary. Gary's got no tongue, boys. I could eat, when I eat properly, when I can eat properly, a chicken pie with garlic airline sauce was great.
What?
What?
Gary lives in Bondi.
Airlines.
Aioli.
Aioli.
I was thinking like Qantas have got this garlic sauce. That's the great. Gary, I know you can't talk, but you can certainly spell.
Have a good show, boys. We'll chat soon.
See ya.
See ya.
See ya, boys.
Before we get to our next guest, we should read out this press release. Now, this has come from the Office of the People's Premier for immediate release dated Monday the 19th of July, 2021. Statement from the People's Premier, John Bernard Kairouz. My fellow New South Welshman, The number confirmed today by the New South Wales Government Health was given solely to discredit my mathematical genius. They claim to have captured the person supposedly leaking the information through high-level surveillance and trapping, which just disrespects the hard work and mathematical process conducted by my brothers and I. I have been clear that there is no source and any claim otherwise is false, and I doubt Gladdy and her government would stoop that low. Well, we all know the Kairos probability theorem produces a correct answer, as the last week has proven, and the formula is available to the public to use themselves. Please stay tuned for more content on my page. I will continue uploading great content and possibly even predictions. Sincerely yours, John Bernard Kay, the People's Premier of New South Wales. Disclaimer, this statement is for comedic purposes only. For health advice, please visit the New South Wales Government website. And I'm pleased to say the People's Premier is on the line. G'day, John Bernard.
That was beautifully read, mate. I really appreciate that.
JB, first of all.
Yep.
Now, there's been a little bit of, confusion or controversy around the numbers that came out yesterday compared to what you predicted. Do you have a response to that?
Look, as I said, Fletch, in the statement, I completely back the Kairos probability theorem. Me and my brothers worked tirelessly throughout the night to predict the number. And for the New South Wales government and New South Wales Health to claim that they've set booby traps for a local comedian is quite sad. And as I said, it just comes down to numbers and figures, mate.
Yeah. So the booby trap set, my understanding was they leaked... This is, I know I'm not accusing you of anything. This is what just the word on the street is, they leaked it on the COVID Safe app, a number that didn't correlate to when Gladdy B said them this morning. Is that correct?
Look, I'm not really inclined to believe that at all. It was floating around on Twitter, that kind of theory as well. There's also conspiracy theories that Gladys herself was leaking it to me because somehow we could be related. I'm not Armenian and I'm not related to a new Lebanese boyfriend. But, I mean, you know, as I said, I'm going to stay true to we predict it through maths and you know, complex arithmetic.
If your brothers and yourself have spent so much money, time and effort into your theorem, into your calculations, etc., surely it has other functions. Is there other things that it can predict as well?
Look, we do have a Kairos probability forecast that we have, so we can forecast things. It's not as strong as the theorem, but, you know, it does kind of give you a good indication, Joel.
Well, there's one here from a T. Barrett. Could you predict when the Bulldogs will next have a victory?
That's when they hire a new coach.
Right. Okay.
that's just what the forecast says.
Yeah.
He's been doing a tough old Trent, but I think Gus is going to give him the flick soon, if I'm being quite honest.
Let's pull the curtain back here, JB. You used to, we've seen some photos come out of you scheming ball player playing for the Magpies. So you've got a little bit of background in rugby league, played for the Holden Cup Manly Seagulls as well.
Yeah, I did. I played with, a couple of guys that are in first grade now, you know, Nico Hines, a few other, Kate Cuss, who kind of run around, Tavita Funa, who's playing at Manly now as well. And that was a fun time. I really enjoyed that experience. But, you know, I couldn't cut the mustard up in, I only played a handful of 20s games and, you know, I played for the Magpies as well. But, yeah, good time in the old 20s.
What did Brad Parker do? You didn't mention him. You played with Brad Parker. You brushed him.
But he's easy to forget, Brad. You know, he's just a role player.
Okay, KPF, tell us who's going to win the Clive Churchill medal. Would it have that type of answer?
According to what we've done the numbers with, it's going to be Jerome Hughes. He'll be paying around $5.
Time for the Doyen of Decisions, Luke the General Patton.
Rightio, let's talk about this. Lachlan Lewis, a former Bulldog. You're a former Bulldog. He's a current Bulldog. What did you make of the judo throw?
Oh, it was bizarre, wasn't it? I was watching that game last night, and just at half time when they're having a bit of an ongoing battle and just decides to take him to the ground, I can't say I've ever seen anything like that. it was a weird one. He ended up getting himself charged too. I think he ended up getting a fine. So, yeah, if you'd like to ever seen anything like that, it was bizarre.
No. What would be the charge? What would be the charge if...
I think it was contrary conduct it was on that one. I think just not in the spirit of the game, I think, Fletch.
Sweeping the leg. It was more of the Cumberland throw.
He didn't even really get him in a choke hold or anything on the ground. I think he sort of took him down and then he got, you know, sort of dragged out and nothing sort of happened. It was, yeah, it was a real odd one, wasn't it?
Now, General, just on this one comes in from Deirdre. She says, my boyfriend and I have been in a relationship for 3 years and it has been mostly great. We don't fight a lot, have lots in common and have similar enough values and goals in life. Lately, he has gotten really into self-improvement and being his best self by buying better clothes, going to therapy and exercising. I'm very happy for him. But my boyfriend of 3 years has said that if I don't improve on intimacy and looks in 3 months, he will end our relationship. I am already trying to improve. Should I try harder or should I move on? General, you're the doing of decisions. What would you say to Deirdre?
I think she's got to up her game.
Oh.
You know, I think she's got to go along and try and improve. He's having a crack, so why can't she give it a crack?
Yeah, okay. They're both 25-year-olds, so Deirdre, there you go. Hey, General, if you could slide into the back line of one of the teams not named Penrith or the Storm, who's the third wheel? Who do you see as the biggest threat to win this comp?
Well, I was only thinking on the weekend, Joel, you know, if the Eagles get themselves fit and they get everyone... Like, I love watching Schuster play, for example. Mm. Like, he's such a talent. And just the way they play, you know, once Tommy gets back and a few of the other guys that are injured, once they get back, they, you know, if they're on, they can take down anyone. So I was kind of thinking, you know, besides your Melbournes and your Penrith, I think they're the dark horse.
Okay, before you go, General, I've got a decision. So it's a rugby league decision. Your Payne Haas, Brisbane Broncos come to you. Now, Payne Haas is 20, 21. Brisbane Broncos have come to you with a 10-year, $1 million a year offer. Do you take it or do you just go, no, I'll just do a couple of years at a time?
Oh, I don't like these huge contracts, Fletcher. I think as soon as anyone signs a 5-year deal or something, their form goes down. So I'd like to see him sort of challenge himself. I know you get that security, don't you, for the rest of your life, but why not just back yourself to sort of to see what happens? And, you know, money, I understand that after you finish your footy, it helps to have made as much money as you can, but premierships is also, you know, a big deal as well, I think. So, I certainly wouldn't have locked myself in. Not that anyone's going to sign me for 10 years, but I wouldn't have locked myself in for 10 years.
Welcome back to the Best of Drive with Joel and Fletch. Now, the guru, Eric Groth Jr., he's getting better and better. What was doing Guru's head in? And Timo, Sean Timmons, up there in Hub Life. We got to find out what was going on behind the scenes, or the curtains, I suppose, with Hub Life. Sean Timmons took us into Dragons Camp.
Our bender took a weird turn, so we sprayed some graffiti. It wasn't my idea, it was Dean Skiffolini.
Oh, yes. Guru, good afternoon.
How are you, fellas? How's little bloke, Steve Skiffolini? When I was coming up through the grades, Brian Smith had signed him as like a bit of a player mentor, him and Chris Quinn, and those two were just the best blokes. And his name, I thought of him today, and I just started thinking, it's a great name, and he's a great bloke.
What's happening, Guru?
Nothing much, mate. Just it's lockdown city here, and it's between dog walks and, social media. There's not much else happening at the moment.
How are you going out there, Guru, with the state of play at the moment?
Yeah, mate, it's very quiet out here, but it's very eerie walking around. It doesn't help with the overcast as well. It feels like you're in one of those movies like Contagion or Outbreak or whatever. It's just everyone's scared to go near each other. You walk past people and they're looking at you funny and keeping a distance. And the guy who came and delivered something that my better half bought off the internet yesterday, like, she answered the door with a big smile on her face. And he was like, oh, geez. And he just kind of put his arm out and dropped the bag and then went off like, mate, far out. It's just crazy times. It really is. It's like all this stuff I used to read about. After 2004, 2005, I started looking into all this stuff, all this alternative stuff and the conspiracy theory stuff. What's scary is some of it's happening. And all these crazy people who were outed as conspiracy theorists, it's starting to look like they were Nostradamus a little bit. With some of the things, but it's word for word too. It's just crazy times. But what can you do? Everyone's in the same boat, so to speak. So, except for Bondi, apparently.
No. Well, you know what, Goo? We were talking about this yesterday. Those people aren't from Bondi. I don't know where they've come from.
Yeah, but that's true. I don't know that I know that your mates, they're different from the blow-ins, definitely.
Yeah, definitely. I don't know who these people are.
Speaking about social media, are you surviving? Is your account still ticking away? His account's under threat, Fletch.
By the powers that be. I've had pretty much every time I post something now, when I go out of the app and I go back in, it comes up, your post goes against our community guidelines. And I try and click through the system to try and get to where I can have my say about it.
Ben.
And it just sends me on this wild goose chase. A lot of geese getting brought up today.
So you're saying there's a bit of, you think you're red flagged.
Well, this has been happening to me for a while. So on and off, but more so really strong lately. And I used to think, I'm going a bit mental too, trying to think that they're marked. But it's pretty common that people who speak against the powers that be's political views, they get little flags and tags on their account. So it's, they keep a track record of all your mishaps and all your mistakes and all your poor posts. So it comes to the point where now it's saying you are on your last legs. Your entire followers and account will be deleted at any time. So I just am like, it's probably a good thing to be honest. But I've started another account.
You started a renegade one.
Backup. But I'm sure it's not that hard for him to go, that's his renegade account. Let's block that one as well. So.
Hey, but Guru, what do you reckon the process would be of this? Is it like a neighbour dobbing on their neighbour for doing some building work? So what how do you feel like you've come to their attention? Surely they're not going through all these bloody tweets, etc., or Instagram posts?
No, but they're not like, waking up with my name on the top of their list or anything and looking into me. I think a lot of it comes from people complaining or someone who doesn't like you, who doesn't share your views or whatever.
Yeah.
They can, send it to, put a flag or you make a complaint or whatever. And then, it gets to the point where if you've got a flag on your account, it's just like another, there's another misdemeanor. Yep. Here you go. One more chance, whatever. I've had about 5 one more chances. I think they just start trying to scare you initially. But I know people, a bloke who messaged me today, he said he had a new Twitter account. He said, Eric, I had 100,000 followers. He's an ex-footballer. And he said, I started posting all this stuff that you are. And he goes, next minute I wake up and my account was just gone.
Wow. Pleased to say that joining us now, I think he's from Brisbane or he's in Brisbane at the moment, Sean Timmins, who's living hub life at the moment. G'day, Timo.
Sugar and Fletch, how are you, boys?
Oh, good, positive. Yes, I'm going good, start. Timo. How are you, buddy?
Yeah, going all right. We just actually finished training, so we got to get out of the motel for an hour and a half, just got back. But so far so good. It's a pretty unique sort of a position we're in, but I think most of the boys are pretty happy to be here and still be able to play footy, but it's a pretty strange time up here.
So, Timo, just give us a little bit of an idea of what's going on. So, who's staying in the same hotel as you, or you just one out, you blokes?
Nah, so we're in Brisbane. There's the Dragons, the Tigers, and the Sharks. The three sides are all in the one motel, so you sort of bump into them around the place, but it's pretty bizarre. Everyone's got their own eating times. Like, you only get a certain time you're allowed to eat. You've got to be in and out of there. If you sleep in or miss it, you don't get to eat. So we don't really see the sides a lot, but it has been good. We've been getting to catch up with them here and there around the motel. But obviously the Tigers were the only winning side in the motel over the weekend, but they're a bit happier than us and the Sharks. But mate, I get to see your mate Shane Millard floating around here a little bit, the Tigers assistant coach. It's quite good.
And what about, Timo, you're not obviously not allowed to go to gyms and stuff. How do the players do weights and rehab?
When we go, we've been training at Red Hill, the Broncos' old facility. So when we go there, the boys can do field and gym there. And there is there's a small little gym in the motel we're staying at in Brisbane, and you're allowed to use it. So you go down there throughout the day, and it's always people in there because we've got the referees actually here too. So the referees are here. You always see staff in there using it. So you can get out and about in your room. You're just not allowed to leave the motel. So the gym's quite busy because there's nothing else to do. So people are in there all day.
Hey, Timo, school teachers, some don't mind the camps when they go away on the school camps, and some absolutely hate it. I imagine it's very similar for you guys. Do you love being in camp bubble life, or do you hate the fact that you can't sort of completely get away from it?
Oh, I love it at the moment. As I said, it's only still been, we're probably a week and a half into it. It's been quite unique and pretty exciting. But once the bubble's over, when we can get out and about in the public, I think it's just going to be sort of back to normal back then. But I always love getting away and being with being in camp. So this time I'm on the staff side of things, but there's always plenty to do. And as I said, once the 2 weeks is over, hopefully we can get out and about and do some things, except we'll walk around the motel room.
Welcome back to the Best of Drive with Joel and Fletch. And that's it. The NBA Championship has been run and won. The Milwaukee Bucks have got the cash there. And Andrew Gaze, shortly after that happened, we caught up with him. And also to preview the Olympics, of course, he's been to 5 Olympics. Can you believe that, Andrew Gaze? Old mate stories with, thanks to mate, Robbie Kearns joined us in the back line. And Sparty, IWFW. In what F world? What was he talking about this week? Have a listen. And a man who knows all about the Olympics, who knows all about NBA championships. I'm pleased to say he's on the line now. Andrew Gaze. G'day, Gazey. How are you, mate?
Good afternoon. Yeah, I'm going really well. Thanks very much. And it was a fantastic game. And Giannis Antetokounmpo just was extraordinary. It was one of the most freakish, extraordinary performances we've seen in an NBA Finals game for quite some time. So it was fantastic to watch.
What are your memories, Gazey, of 1999 when the Spurs got the job done?
Sitting on the sideline, waving a towel and screaming my lungs out to get the boys over the line. But it was a long, long time ago, of course. But it was great fun and a real privilege to be a part of that and to share that experience and the excitement going on in the locker room afterwards and the euphoria of a group of guys coming together and achieving their goal. It was fantastic, and it was in New York, of all places. You can think of worse places to be doing it. So it was in New York, and like I said, I had bugger all to do with it, but it was a real privilege to be a part of it and sharing that experience.
I bet you, Gazey, though, after when you're talking about the locker room and all the celebrations, you weren't wearing ski goggles like we keep seeing the last couple of years. What do you make of that?
Well, it's apparently got to do with trying to protect their eyes. Too much champagne can do some damage, apparently. And then when they're going to spray it all around, and they go in there and they try and put all the plastic over the lockers so the guy's gear doesn't get too messed up. But it's almost like par for the course now. It might be OH&S just kicking in and saying, listen, if you're going to do these silly things, make sure you protect yourself. And they do. So, yeah, it's a little weird, but all part of the joys of it all.
Yeah, Gazey, where does he sit, the freak, the Greek freak, comparing to, I know he's not there near Jordan, obviously, but where does he sit now amongst those NBA players?
Well, he's still a relatively young man, and he's got a lot of basketball to play. The difference with him, he was highly touted, but not like these other, when you think of LeBron and Michael and Larry Bird, Magic Johnson. From a very early age, when they were at college, they were always destined to be. But Giannis, coming from Greece in a pretty tough upbringing, he was, I think you probably might know more than me, he was like either 15th or 16th pick in the draft. So it wasn't like he
Gazey,
was going to
know.
Be this guarantee that he was going to be a superstar. And he a few more seasons like this, he's already won 2 league MVPs, so it's no secret about his abilities. But the performance today will go down in history as one of the all-time great performances in NBA Finals.
What about getting in the village, Gazey? So, obviously, has every country got their own area? Or if you go to the cafeteria, I imagine, you're getting your lunch. Could you run into, a superstar NBA player?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It's one of the joys of the games. And I know these days it's a little different because of COVID, but even if you look over the last 4 or 5 Olympics, there's been a number of high-profile athletes, or even if you look at Team USA, that don't actually stay in the Olympic Village. But to me, becoming an Olympian is not the... there's just a little glitch taken off it if you don't have that experience of living in the village. And sure, it's not 5-star accommodation. You don't get all the privileges of what you would in some other places. But that experience to be rubbing shoulders on a daily basis with the greatest athletes in the world and getting on a bus and traveling around the village and you're sitting in the dining hall and, you're forced to share the experience with others. You're just finding a seat in those peak times and sitting down and talking to a lot of the different athletes. It's just an amazing experience and one of the joys of becoming an Olympian.
Now, there's no pork chops in our Boomers or Opals team. Mm. Well, not anymore. So can I ask you this, Gazy? Are we honestly a chance of getting anywhere near gold? I know we're a big chance of medalling, but we want gold.
I'm not worried we are. Yep. And I think that for the last, I guess, decade or so, those within the basketball community have been preaching that. But there's always been a level of hesitancy because we get caught up in the NBA or we see what Spain has been doing or some of the superstars of other countries, that the basketball superstars, and we always thought, oh, maybe it's just a bit of rhetoric, we're just trying to pump it up. But it certainly hasn't been the case. We have been legitimate chances for quite some time. And for those doubters, you only have to go back to last week. And I know it's an exhibition game and it's not actually when the red light's on and I'm playing for points, but we were able to beat the United States last week in a warm-up game, and it was tight. And we did the same in 2019 here in Australia before the World Cup. So we have shown in the right time, the right set of circumstances, that we absolutely have the ability to beat the United States. But so does France. So does Spain. There are a number of teams that you're putting in that category that could beat them. And we're fortunate to be one of them. But make no mistake, they go into the games, the Tokyo games, as the favourites. They are definitely the favourites. They've got the most skill, and it's going to take some beating. But there's a good chance that not just Australia, but a number of teams are capable of beating them.
Go to our great man and an old mate of ours, Robbie Kearns. G'day, Kearnsy.
G'day, boys. How are we?
Kearns, you were going all right, mate. What's been happening in your world down there? You're still down in Victoria, aren't you?
Yeah, we are, mate. And before I go any further, I was just listening to that last segment where you were talking about the young North Queensland fellow. I didn't realise Brian Fletcher had done his medicine degree. He sounded like he knew what he's talking about there, Fletcher.
Abernethy. Well, listen here. I've already told your story about where you got me sacked when we were plumbing together, and you just laugh it off. See how he laughs?
Yes.
This could have ruined my career.
Like, Joel, he keeps turning these stories around, mate, thinking that he turns around on me. You know what he's like.
Yeah.
You know, better than anyone.
The old reverse.
But no, all things going well down here, as well as could be, boys. We're in our fifth lockdown, which is devastating.
Oh, wow.
I mean, hopefully it's not going to last. Well, we've got another week of it. So, I mean, you guys are in the same boat up there, obviously. So you guys are just getting to see what it's all about. But we're getting accustomed to it down here, and we're dealing with it. I've been back on the work site, Fletcher, as I think I might have told you just recently, and so we're still working. I'm still working, which is good, but I suppose the only upside other than that is that I get to see my kids every night of the week because they're not out and about, and we have dinner together, and it's not too bad. But, a lot of people are struggling, especially small business. I might have told you the last time I was talking to you that, you know, the pub that I'm involved in, we were shut down for 12 months back in 2020, and we've been shut down again for the last sort of 8 or 9 weeks. So not good, but hopefully there's the sun will shine tomorrow, boys.
Yeah. Hey. Oh, sorry, mate. No, I was just going to ask you on the... Sorry. Yeah, we're just playing the vowel game here. Kearnsy, just on Melbourne, they just, I mean, these new rules, they've certainly helped some teams, and none better than Melbourne, because the last, I don't know what they've done the last couple, last six outings or last, they've put 40 on teams. Have you ever seen a Melbourne side this consistent ever?
No, I'm gonna jump on your back there, Fletcher. I don't reckon. I mean, you know, everyone talks about it. I mean, Cameron Smith, the world's greatest player, ever to place the boot, so I'm saying, he leaves and they go to a whole new level. I mean, we've got some wonderful talent. Obviously, you know, Craig Bellamy, we all know what Craig Bellamy does with young guys and young unknown players, and even some, you know, players that have fallen out from other sides. He gets the best out of them, and that's exactly what's happening this year. But they're just gelling. I think, you know, Nico Hines, I mean, he was, you know, obviously, he got a start in the grand final side last year. He didn't make it onto the field. Obviously, Craig Bellamy has got really tight in the last few minutes, so he never got a start. But he was our second string fullback this year. Young Pap was on fire, as we all know. And sure enough, Pap gets a head injury, and Nico comes along and is setting the world on fire. If, you know, and I, at the start of the year, I'm thinking, is he going to be the same player? Well, when he signed with Cronulla, is he going to be the same player at Cronulla as what he is here at the Melbourne Storm? And I had my doubts, but, mate, he's absolutely set the world on fire in these last 6 or 7 weeks, and he's gone to a whole new level, and he's just blown my mind, and he's been the form player of the competition in my eyes. So, I mean, he's gone to a whole new level. Pap comes back this weekend. We didn't have Nelson playing on the weekend. Harry Grant's still on the sideline. So it's scary to think what Melbourne can be if they get all their dumb players back on the field this year. And, you know, for the first time, and I said this only to a couple of blokes I work with today, whilst Melbourne have been so good for so long, the one thing they have never done in their history of, you know, obviously back in since 1998 when they, or 1999 when they won their first, they've never gone back to back. And I think you two boys will agree, the champion sides, there's been plenty of champion sides that have won premierships, but the superstar sides are the ones that go back to back, and if not three in a row, back in the Parramatta days of, when was that, boys? That was 81, 82, 83,
yeah.
Wasn't it?
Yeah, Broncos. Yeah. Broncos, 92, 92, 93.
Where you keep your Rolling Stones records, and a friend of such a distance.
It's time for In What World with the Doyen of Talkback, Sparty.
But where do you go?
Oh, I love that song now. Sparty, good afternoon.
G'day, fellas. How are you?
Yeah, you're going all right, Spart, man.
I'm good, Sparty.
Oh, that's good. This is going to be controversial, but it needs to be spoken about.
Yes.
I'm just going to slip on my Tony Barber slacks and my corduroy jacket, and I'm giving you a Who Am I?
Oh, yes.
Who am I? Yeah. I'm a delightful late-night morsel that's full of so many opportunities and outcomes. My combinations are endless. Salad world joins up with the various meat world. I'm home to a myriad of sauces. The only rule with me is there's no rule. Anything goes, and all judgment is left outside on the filthy, rotten, stinking, cigarette-covered pavement at 1 a.m. Who am I?
Oh, yeah. I know what
I'm
you
I'm a kebab.
Yes. Yeah.
I was thinking that. I was thinking of kebabs.
Mm. You got kebab. Right. Now, look, we love kebabs. I don't know anybody who doesn't like a kebab. It does cater for everyone, even the vegetarians with, I've just forgot what those things are called that you can get on them.
Falafel?
As well. Yeah, falafel. Yes, beautiful. But IWFW... In what world is the wrapping process of a kebab acceptable?
Oh.
Yeah, I know where you're going with this.
Right.
Yeah. Especially when you're Schindler's.
Okay. Correct. According to the latest Bureau of Statistics, 83.25% of people who are consuming a kebab are 83.6% pissed.
Yes.
Now, what that means is... You aren't at the best of your faculties aren't working.
No.
Right? You're not doing as well as you can.
Nope.
And this is what they put in place for you. First, you get the paper. That's the first part. You get a kebab, they roll it in paper.
Mm.
Then they put a foil around it.
Yep.
Then they put it in the toaster for a little while. And then they put it in another bag of foil and give it to you and expect you to be able to eat this without making a mess of yourself. Now, you're already a mess. You're dribbling down your shirt. You've lost buttons.
Yeah.
Why in what world is wrapping like this acceptable?
Degree of difficulty. He's 100% right.
It is. And then how many times have you bitten into it and you've got paper?
That's
you're just chewing on paper.
They fold the paper.
The only way I can think is if you have edible... I've thought about this. You have edible paper.
Yes.
So the foil, because you can't have the foil if you've got fillings, because then you get the...
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Maybe edible paper.
And then, every time, not 83.2% of the time, but every time at the bottom of the paper/foil out of packaging, the juice.
I love the juice.
It always ends on top of you. Thanks for listening to the Best of Drive with Joel and Fletch. We are back Monday, 3 to 6pm daily, SEN 1170 or via the app or via the podcast, however you like to do it. Drive with Joel and Fletch back on again from Monday.